Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter from Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. It's the Thursday edition of Locked On Rams, so we've got our man Vinny Bonsignor joining us today. We'll get to that interview in just a minute. Before we do, whoo, feels good to be back. Thank you everyone for being patient on my adventures from the Midwest back to the West. I'm flying tomorrow, landing just in time to hopefully have a conversation with Serena Morales and watch some Thursday Night Football, because this is Locked On Rams, and this is a daily, five-day-a-week show. Want to welcome everybody that's joining us, all our longtime listeners. Really appreciate you guys. Don't forget to go give us a follow on all the social media accounts. We've got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Locked On Rams on all accounts. Join the Facebook group. We got some fun giveaways coming up that I'm going to start sharing with you guys as I knock out a few more of these details. We've got some really awesome sponsors on the podcast, so take advantage of some of these awesome discounts that we're able to bring to you guys. If you're out there and you want to be a part of the show, just reach out to me, lockedonrams@gmail.com. We've got some great opportunities for sponsorships on the show. And then hit me up on my personal Twitter, @LA_RamblingBear. If you ever want to share anything or ask a question, don't be shy. We've got our phone number, which is pinned on the Locked On Rams Twitter. So if you need that number, go check it out there. And hit the subscribe button, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere where you find podcasts, really, we are there. Hit the subscribe, share with a friend, grow Rams Nation, bring more people into this. We're having a great time. Numbers are growing. It's been a lot of fun. We have a great lineup throughout the week. And starting next Monday, we'll get back to our regularly scheduled program. So again, thanks for bearing with me, pun intended. And we're going to have a good time today. We've got Vinny Bonsignor answering some questions, giving us some insight on some players, some injuries, taking some questions from you, the fans, because I actually appreciate you guys got some questions into me via the phone number, and Monday was really weird, and catching up on Tuesday, and thanks, James, for filling in there. But we're finally getting to some of those questions. I'll do my best to get as many as I could in, but continue to reach out, and we'll throw them in throughout other podcasts if we don't always get them in our big up section on Tuesday, but we'll be back to normal next week, promise. Well, enough of me rambling on. Why don't we get to the good stuff? Me and Vinny Bonsignor sat down. He's an LA Rams reporter for The Athletic. Guys, check it out if you haven't already. It's a great thing to get a subscription to. I can get you a promo code. I'll just have to check with the network, but I know we've got a great deal with them right now. So if you're interested in it, reach out. Go see some of this amazing coverage that not only Vinny's doing, but everyone else at The Athletic. Really good stuff so far. So without further ado, here's a conversation I had earlier today with Vinny Bonsignor. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. It is the Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. So you know what that means? That means Vinny Bonsignor is with us, NFL and Rams reporter from The Athletic. Vinny, how you doing, bud?
Good. Still thawing out from the frigid conditions of Denver, but I think everybody survived that, including the Rams, who won another close one. And, you know, I know that it causes a lot of angst and anxiety among the fan base, but inside the Rams locker room, there's a lot of badge of honor that's going on with these kind of wins that they've put together in Seattle and Denver. The NFL is not easy. It's the survival of the fittest. And you survive and you move on every single week. And every team can beat you. That's not a cliche. That's the truth of the matter. And you go on the road and figure out ways to win in adverse conditions, and injuries are piling up, and the other team is pretty good or desperate, and you still create a path that may not have always been so apparent to a victory. Those are seeds that are being sown right now, and the Rams understand that full well.
Well, I love that you said that too, because you're totally right. We start to get spoiled when we have a team that goes on this, 6-0 to start the season, and you see us match up against a lesser of opponent, and you think, well, we're just going to beat them because that's what we're doing right now. But it's tough to get a win on any given Sunday, and especially on the road. And they were able to do that. And actually, if we could turned the temperature down in L.A. down to about 20 degrees. Todd Gurley seemed pretty comfortable in that, rushing for over 200 yards. So excited. We talked about that game coming up in Chicago later this year. Give me a little bit more confidence about, you know, us winning on the road and also how we played in that weather. So great way to start us out. And kind of talking about that Denver game and how the weather went. And one of the things that we did really well that we haven't been doing a lot this season is our rush defense. And we really shut it down, held them to under 100 yards. But now we are coming into this San Francisco game, which, you know, everyone looks at and says, oh, they're 1-5. But it's a division opponent. And we talked about that with Seattle when we went up and faced them, that it should be pretty easy, but it ended up being a really close game. They're number three in the league as far as rushing goes. Do you see that being another challenge this week, or do you think that game, like you mentioned, giving confidence, it's something that they'll bring in to this game with them?
Yeah, I think that there was some confidence that was built, in Denver, and I, just to reiterate, in talking to some of the players in the last couple of weeks, and while they definitely and professionally tipped their cap to the Seattle Seahawks and the plan that they had and the toughness that they showed, it only went so far. They believed, deep down that, it was more of what we weren't doing than what the Seahawks were doing to us. And that was, or even what they were doing. And what were they were doing? They were being a little overly aggressive. They were getting out of their assignment because, on the football field, things are happening so fast, you think you see something.
Right.
And you may, but you end up taking yourself out of the play. And the offense knows that, and they're going to exploit that sometimes. I think that was what was going on in the Seahawks game, especially in that Seahawks game. They got down to basics against Denver and assignment football and discipline football. And you saw what they were capable of doing. It's like Wade Phillips said, just play the defense that you're asked to play and do your thing and then trust that the other guys are going to be doing his. And as long as we do that, we're going to be fine. And sure enough, they were.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of in that same scheme, but in the different area of that defense, I want to ask you a question. This actually comes from Matt out of Connecticut. He's a big Rams fan. His birthday was actually this month, so happy birthday, Matt. His girlfriend bought him some tickets. He's going to be at the next 49ers game, the last one of the season here in L.A., his first game. But he had this question, and it's kind of similar to one that I already had kind of written down I wanted to ask you about. He's asking about our secondary and Troy Hill. And he said, I'm not going to throw him under the bus, but he didn't have the greatest game last game. But we haven't seen a lot of Sam Shields. So just kind of curious on, I think Sam Shields had about 22 snaps, and only like 18 of them were on special teams. So he was barely in. Is that something that we want to go further with and they really are just Troy Hill or bust? Or will we see more Sam Shields? Or is this even a point where maybe we thought we had really deep depth at that position and maybe we need to add somebody? What are your thoughts on that?
A little bit of all of the above, and they're trying to find the right combination. I talked to Aubrey Pleasant, their DB coach, after the game, and he felt like at this time last year the defensive, the secondary was really coming together. It hasn't quite come together as rapidly this year. Part of that is due to injuries. You lost Aqib Talib. We all know that Marcus Peters, probably wasn't 100% for the last couple of weeks. And, strained calves, those take a little while to heal up completely. He played much, much better, on Sunday against the Broncos than he did against Seattle. But it always seems lately or in the last few games like there's that one guy that just isn't having a very good game or a good game. And the other, the offenses have been exploiting that. And so they're trying to minimize that. And there is a belief in Troy Hill. Inside that building, there's always been confidence in Troy Hill. He was last year, over the second half of the season down the stretch, grading out higher by
right.
their grades, by the Ram grades, than Trubane Johnson was. So there is a belief and a confidence in him. I think, you look at that game against the Broncos, it wasn't like he was just getting torched. He was in position on pretty much every one of those plays to make a play. And sometimes it's just about turning at the right time or, swiping at the ball at the right time. And he just wasn't doing that. He was just getting the timing was a little bit off. But I would be encouraged by the fact that he's in position to make the plays. There's
right.
a lot of different. There's a big difference between that and just where's Troy Hill? He was there. He just didn't make the plays. And that's something that obviously he's gonna have to improve on. As far as looking outside, the building, where,
yeah.
Where do you go? This is, I talked to I was talking to somebody within the Rams just the other day, not about Troy Hill, but just in general, it's hard to find good cornerbacks. It's really difficult to find ones that can do it at a high level. That's why they were so fortunate and felt so good about what they did last offseason with Tlaib and Peters. So, you know, where do you go find a good cornerback that's going to be better than Troy Hill? You hope that there would be somebody out there if Troy continues to struggle, but there's no guarantee of that at all.
And so is there any reason that it's not Sam Shields? Is he just not at that level? We saw him earlier in the season have an interception, and I think that was the Arizona game, if I'm remembering correctly. But his snap count just doesn't show that either they have faith in him or that maybe he is, you know, they're worried about keeping him long-term throughout the season due to injury. Or is there any reason for him, or is it just not his time yet?
Well, and we're going to talk to Wade Phillips, you know, today. About this, or that's the day that he's scheduled to talk on Thursday. So, you know, that's something that I definitely want to ask him. I think my personal feeling, because we haven't addressed it yet, is Sam Shields had a particular role coming into this season. He had missed basically the last 2 years. That's a long time to go without playing football.
Right.
And we all know what his history is, with the injuries and the type of injuries that they were. So, this is just me guessing right now. We're going to try to get some further clarity on it. Maybe they just want to let him, that's going to be your role. We're not going to ask you to do more than that. Maybe it would be unfair in their eyes to ask him to do more than that. Now, again, just me guessing and surmising, but we're going to try to get a better answer, when we talk to Wade today to see, hey, is there a plan? Is it a confidence issue? Do you just feel Troy Hill is the better player? And so we'll try to get to the bottom of that.
Okay, sounds good. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside, get a quick break, some words from our sponsors. We'll be back with some more fan questions and more with Vinny Bonsignor. All right, guys, before we get to our next segment, I want to talk to you about our new sponsor I'm really excited about. It's called Rooftop Cinema Club, and it has landed to a rooftop near you. Come and watch the latest releases and cult classics under the beautiful sky. Movies by moonlight, breathtaking views, delicious cocktails and food. We're putting the celebration back into the cinema. So come on and celebrate with us. Screenings are in Hollywood, downtown LA, San Diego, Houston, and New York, and on sale now at rooftopcinemaclub.com. Again, that's rooftopcinemaclub.com. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON10 to get 10% off of your tickets. Make sure to visit their website for full list of films and showtimes. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram at Rooftop Cinema Club, Twitter at Rooftop Cinema for all updates. They do a bunch of awesome special nights, Q&As, photo ops, etc. Their mission statement is, we believe that all experiences should be memorable, which is why we are on a mission to transform nights at the cinema to stunning rooftop views, sunsets, starlit evenings, friends, loved ones, awesome drinks, delicious food, and great movies on the big screen. Again, that promo code is LOCKEDON10. It's going to get you 10% off when you purchase your tickets. This deal is good from now until the end of November, so make sure to take advantage of it while it's still available. RooftopCinemaClub.com, promo code LOCKEDON. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. We've got Vinny with us. We're hitting up some fan questions. I'm going to keep it rolling. This next one comes from Cody Brown, and we kind of talked about this as far as that 49er matchup, and we assume that it could be a must win or an easy win, shall I say. And we've got some banged up players, and this will maybe give you some opportunity to any injury update you have for me, because I've been out in the middle of nowhere in Michigan, so I'm a little behind on some of this. But I know Saffold was a little banged up and Brockers, and we're going to miss Cup for a couple weeks. But with some of those other guys that, you know, probably will play from what it sounds like, with this matchup coming up, would this be a good time to, almost like we did with Greg Zuerlein and we gave him kind of that extra week to get healthy, would it be a smart thing to let some of those guys sit, knowing that this is a Niners game that should be winnable? Or is it just go back to, if you're ready, you're ready, get in there and play?
Yeah, no, it's definitely if you're ready, you go play. And that's just the nature of this world that these guys operate in. And you're going to get a fight on your hands from the players themselves.
Right.
So, you know, when they feel like they're ready to play, they're going to express that. And And if they're ready to go, then they're ready to go. Sean McVay makes it a big point. Like, if you can't play, if there's some reason why we gotta, you know, hold you back a little bit in this game, then you don't need to be on the field right now. And he doesn't say that callously. That's the way it is. You know, if you're on the field, it's full bore, 100%. Otherwise, we'll find somebody else for that game to be able to be in that position. So I suspect that, early word, but I think Roger, you know, will play and Brockers will play. And you know, obviously Cup is out. Looking at him on Sunday, I know they're saying, you know, definitely for this week, but he was moving around pretty gingerly. You know, it's obviously, thankfully for him, not a major issue or injury. But, you know, at that position, you have to have your speed. You have to have your ability to cut off, push off, jump, right, all of those things. So we'll see about him, how long that actually takes. But the other guys, I think that they're going to play, and I don't think that you use this game as, you know, hey, we can strategically use it to rest some guys. I think you just go full bore ahead.
Right, and kind of playing off that with the Cup injury, we'll see a lot more of Josh Reynolds this week. He's gotten some action in a couple of games due to injuries during the game, and you saw him come in, and he made some plays and was able to contribute, but will it help Sean McVay having kind of this whole week knowing that Reynolds will be in to bring him in as that third wide receiver? Or do you think we'll see Todd Gurley's catches kind of come up? And that question actually comes from Sam Barge. He reached out to us on Facebook and he was kind of wondering what Josh Reynolds' role would be, or if we would see more of Todd Gurley in the passing game.
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think one has anything to do with the other. Again, going back to Sean McVay and the quarterback as well, Jared Goff, because ultimately he's the one that pulls the trigger on these, right, on the passes. But I think that, and you know, John Sullivan told me this, there's no drop in expectations when backups come into the game. It's just the way it is. And if you're out there, you're expected to perform. This is the NFL. You know, you're part of this 53-man roster for a reason. So, you know, there's a lot of confidence in Josh Reynolds, and I don't think they're going to deviate or alter the game plan because of that. You know, if he's open and his number is called, or if in Jared's, you know, read progression, his eyes take him that way, then he's going to get the ball. I don't think they're going to, like, scheme away from him and put it into the hands more of Todd Gurley. I think that that's a slippery slope right there. So, you know, I don't expect, if Todd Gurley gets the ball more this week, it'll be because they felt like that was a matchup that they were going to be able to exploit, right, whether it's the screen game or the pass game, and, you know, or even running the ball more. But it won't be because Josh Reynolds is on the field.
And kind of sticking to that scheme and McVay and game planning, we were talking on Rams podcast with my co-host James Kroger, and he was telling me about how Todd Gurley was mentioning that Wednesday is the day that McVay brings in all his new plays, and he says it's like the most exciting day when he gets to see some of McVay's new ideas, and sometimes they don't get to use them all because, you know, he's drawn up that many plays. And he got a little criticism for some of his play calling, you know, close to the red zone or in the red zone, and he even came out again, like very classic McVay, and kind of apologized for it and took blame and said, I got to do better. When you look at that as a whole, what do you think kind of happens in that? Because he is at times, you know, this unbelievable play caller and can control a game. Is there something particularly that drives him to get off of track with something? Or is he just, you know, that's his coaching style. He's going to take the credit for it every time.
I honestly think that he does, you know, kick himself. I've seen him, you know, you watch his facial expressions and, or walking off the field at halftime or something like that. And sometimes he's muttering at himself. I think he's a little bit too hard on himself in that regard. It goes over really, really well in the locker room. So there's definitely merit to it. I don't think he does that for that purpose. I think he really does genuinely say, I could have done better, and admits that. And that's something that, you know, at least my end of things, you appreciate that, because so many times you're getting fed BS from some of these guys.
Right.
And I understand why they do that too, but at the same time, transparency, like the type that Sean McVay shows, I think is to be applauded and appreciated. But to answer your question, I think he's just such an aggressive play caller, and he has the utmost confidence in his plays and the players that are executing those plays, that he feels, you know, there's a conviction behind the decisions that he's making at the time. I think retroactively, he'll go, wow, you know, I mean, you know, they're obviously daring us to run the ball right here. They're bringing pressure all over the place. the best thing to do would be to run the ball against that pressure to make them pay for that pressure, and or maybe, you know, quick slants or just shorter drop passes, because, you know, what you saw, especially in that, at the end of that second half or the end of the second quarter, was they were trying to go deeper on deeper routes, which obviously takes a little bit longer to develop, and Jared Goff's going to hold the ball a little bit longer, and you had all this pressure that was coming, and it resulted in two sacks when maybe you should have shortened the route or ran the ball right there. And I think that's where he starts looking at himself and saying, I just didn't do a good job dealing with the with what the defense was lining up in and what they were doing at that time. And so, you know, does he get away from himself? I think it's just confidence, and I just think it's aggressiveness. And I think that he needs to, what he's saying is, I need to pick and choose better, you know, when I am aggressive and when I am just content with kind of taking what the defense is giving to us right now, or playing off what the defense is doing. So, but he's, you know, I said this on Twitter, he's 32 years old. You know,
right.
He's in his, what, third, fourth year, full season of calling plays. He tells us this all the time. He didn't say that he sucked his first year as a play caller, but he can look back and say, I got a lot to learn. I didn't even know that I had a lot to learn, but obviously I did. And it's an ever-evolving thing. Nobody's great or perfect at what they do. I don't care how old you are, but especially at that age and the experience that he has. So he's learning. We're just fortunate enough, I think, in our business and for the fans, I'm sure, as well, that there's a coach, he admits that, you know, and he says it outwardly. I'm sure all coaches are like, what the hell did I just do right there?
Right, right.
In their head, but they're not comfortable and enough in their own skin, in their own being, to then go ahead and tell the whole world it. So, but I think he does improve. I think he saw the improvement during the, not improvement, but the adjustment that he made during the game, because there was a sequence where it was the drive that got them the field goal to basically put it out of reach. It made it a 13-point, I think a 13-point or a 10-point game, whatever it was, you know, to make it a two-score game after Denver had cut it to a one-score game. Of 13 plays, 9 were run plays, and they took 5 minutes and 39 seconds off the clock in doing so. So he got back to, like, okay, you want to play us that way? This is what we're going to do. We're going to pound the hell out of you and go down the field methodically and take a bunch of time off the clock and keep moving forward and then hopefully get a touchdown. That didn't happen, but they got the field goal, which turns out to be, that was a big difference in the game.
Yeah, we are spoiled in more ways than one with this Rams team. Sean McVay is definitely one of them. We talked about Jared Goff last week and being on pace to setting records, and then now you're looking at Todd Gurley on pace to, you know, break touchdown records and potential yard records. It's just everywhere you look, you start to get really spoiled, and that's what happens when you have all these great players and a 6-0 football team. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside real quick. We're going to take our last break. We'll be right back with more with Vinny Bonsignor. All right, Rams Nation, Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. We got Vinny Bonsignor with us, NFL and Rams reporter for The Athletic. If you guys haven't gotten your subscription yet, please go check it out. Great deals across the board for The Athletic. They have great coverage, not only just for NFL, but NBA, all sports, all over the place. So a must-do, a bare stamp of approval if you go get this subscription. So kind of as we move on, and we talked about him last week, and I don't know if there's any more news on him, but I know Obo Okoronkwo is now officially, we're in that window where we have to decide if we're going to add him to the roster. How long might that take? And if it sounds like we talked last week and you said you didn't know no, but you felt like he was looking healthy, and their plan from Sean McVay sounded like they wanted to have him earn a spot. But when potentially, if all things go well, could we see him on the field?
I mean, I think if he's healthy, and we're going to find that out this week, obviously, ASAP. You know, now I had conversations with some people in the Rams organization, you know, a month and a half ago, you know, hey, what are you going to do with him when he comes off? And at that point, you know, all options were on the table, including, hey, you know, is it the worst thing to just redshirt him this year, you know, and just get him strong in the weight room and let him completely heal? But then there was a pause and a comma and an added, but we may not be in that position,
right?
You know, 6 weeks from now, it might be we have to play him because, you know, of the nature of this sport and the battle of attrition that it is. And lo and behold, I think they're in a position where if he's healthy, he's got to be out there, you know, because of Dominic Easley getting hurt, because Matt Longacre's back keeps barking at him, because they aren't getting the production necessarily from that position on either side that they probably do need, you know. And I think they're making do right now at outside linebacker. But if you have a guy in there that can put some heat on the quarterback and be an asset, then he's going to be on the field. So it'll be fascinating to see. And you know, I know that everyone talks about or hears under these rules once you come off the PUP list that the team has 3 weeks. Well, it could be 1 hour. You know, they don't have to take all those 3 weeks. It could be immediately. And so I would expect something sooner rather than later. And if not, then he's just not ready physically yet, you know, upon coming off the PUP list. But I keep reiterating this. I'm no doctor. I've been watching him and pretty closely, actually, and talking to him, too. And he's champing at the bit to get out there. And you know, I think that he's ready to go. So we'll see what the doctors say. And then we'll see how they play it the rest of this week and moving forward.
So by rule, he could be eligible. We could by rule, see him this week. He's available. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah. Okay. No, yeah. You don't have to wait the full 3 weeks. It could be like right now. So at least that's what I was told. And by the people who make those decisions. So as far as I know, how it's been explained to me, you have up to 3 weeks. But you don't have to take all 3 weeks.
Well, we'll keep a close eye on that because the Rams and Sean McVay and the organization, they keep a lot of things very close to their vest until last minute. And boom, here's what we're doing. And moving forward kind of with the kicker situation and how they went with that and some of the injuries that they've handled. So we'll keep a close eye on that because I think we're all, you said he's chomping at the bit. I think so are we to see him out there. And like you said, that position itself, we could use some more help on the edge rush and just some healthy bodies. So hopefully we see him sooner than later. As we now kind of turn the page and look forward to this week's matchup, we've kind of touched on it a few times, but we're heading up to play the 49ers, who obviously are not where they thought they would be or not where we probably thought they'd be either. 1-5, they've got their backup quarterback in. He had probably one of his better games in his career on the road in Green Bay, and they just gave that one up. A lot of points put up in that one, and you know, we'll see Aaron Rodgers not too far after that. But talk to me a little bit about this matchup. Maybe what scares you? What makes you confident coming into this matchup?
Well, first of all, I think the Rams are obviously the superior team. I think that, you know, unfortunately for the Niners, they've lost some key players. Jimmy G, speaking of which, if you're the 49ers and you had it all to do over again, do you think you would have waited Kirk Cousins out? Because that's where he was going to go.
Right.
You know, if they don't make that trade, I believe in my heart that that's where he was going to go. It was the perfect marriage with him and his former offensive coordinator. And, you know, nothing against Jimmy G, but I think right now, Kirk Cousins, and take out the injury factor, just put those two quarterbacks side by side. I think Kirk Cousins, as he's showing in Minnesota, having a fantastic season, he's probably just a better quarterback. So I just think about that every once in a while. But, you know, obviously that's neither here nor there. At this point, but from that Rams game or from the Rams perspective, I just think they're a better team. I think the conditions are going to be much more conducive to just playing their style of football. And, you know, I think that the offense feels a little burned that they weren't able to do their normal thing on Sunday against the Broncos. I expect more of a breakout game from their point. And I like where the defense was, especially the run defense. If they could just get that cornerback situation stabilized a little bit, where you're not giving up those big, huge plays like that, you know, I think they're going to be in a really good position to win this. We keep saying rather easily. Obviously, that's a relative word right there in the NFL, but I think that they'll be in control. And I go back to that Denver game. I felt like they were in control most of that game. I never once sat there, you know, thinking they might blow this game. I just had this. It was just one of those ones where they just had control throughout
right.
the game, up 20-3, and then you know some things happen, bad turnover. You know, near their goal line. But I just never felt like they were that game was out of control whatsoever. It was always within their grasp.
Yeah, I did a Locked On crossover with the Locked On 49ers yesterday, and he said, we just really want to just hang with you guys. Like, you know, no one's expecting to win this game, but if we can come out and do what we kind of did against the Packers and show that, you know, we are a quarterback away or, you know, a couple injuries on defense away from, you know, being competitive, and, you know, if we can hang close. And that's kind of my leading into this is, you know, we do this every week with you, and the point spread is 10.5 on mybookie.ag. And me and you, that's a big one. It's on the road. It's, you know, it's bigger than it was in Denver. I think that's larger than the one when we went up to Seattle. So how do you see this one going out? Do the Rams cover? It's a lot of points.
Yeah. No, I think they have a decent chance of covering this week. I think, you know, when you look at the 49ers played the Packers on Monday night. That's a tough trip to come back. You're a tired team. You're a dejected team after losing a close game. You have to get ready now for probably the best team in the NFL. That's a tough one. That's a tough one to come back from and the logistics of it all. And I feel like the Rams are, while they said, hey, you know, we grew from this loss and we appreciate winning these close games. I think after 2 weeks of close games, I don't think they want to go down that path again. I think they come in and take care of business pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm going to have to stick with you again. I mean, I could see it. I wouldn't be shocked if this ended up being a 6-point win and, you know, they play their hearts out and you know, there's a couple things because they do have a great running offense, the Niners, and, you know, we got to prove that we can do it back-to-back games and really stop the run. But at the same time, I think back, I know it was early in the season, but that Arizona game where you just saw the different caliber of team that we were playing and that we took care of business and we just kept laying it on them. There was no taking the foot off the gas, and I think it's going to be a big game for Jared Goff, even just watching Aaron Rodgers throw it around. Richard Sherman is having a great season, but that's about it in that secondary. So with the weapons that we have, I think we're going to be able to move the football and run the football on them well. So I'm with you. I think we do cover the spread here. But then again, division game, you know, maybe you take all that stuff that you just said and you flip it into, you know, fuel in the tank and you keep it close. But the Rams have been really good at closing games lately. So I think that's going to go into factor here and we'll get a late one to really seal the deal. But we'll find out on Sunday and then we'll talk about it next week. Vinny, I always appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much. Guys, make sure to go give him a follow on Twitter at Vinny Bonsignor. Check out The Athletic. Vinny's a reporter there for Athletic LA. Get a subscription. If you need a discount code, hit me up. I'll get you one. But Vinny, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you very much. Enjoy the game and safe travel. Imagine that. I free all my sons. I love them, baby. Black diamonds and pearls. Could it be if you could be mine? We both shine. If I ruled the world. Still living for today and these last days until it is me. Paradise life relaxing. Black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. I'm on the exchange, the range. Cast, Lord Travis, Shabazz. Free at last.